Praise God. Well, church, I regret to inform you that although I sought the Lord earnestly all week, God did not give me a sermon for this morning. So I don't have a message. April Fools! I had to get one in there somewhere, right? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to two portions of Scripture. The first being found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. The second is one verse, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Beginning with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, the Apostle Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. And then a verse that we have actually been considering the last few weeks. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. There is an ancient piece of cloth. It measures 14 feet 5 inches long and 3 feet 7 inches wide. It's kept at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in a town called Turin in Italy. That cloth is commonly referred to as the Shroud of Turin. The shroud has been the subject of much debate and controversy over the years, including an awful lot of scientific examination and testing. There's an image that is seen on that cloth. It's actually a negative image, much like a photo negative. The image is that of a dead body of a tall, middle-aged man with long hair, a beard, and a mustache. His hands are crossed at the wrists in front of him, and there is a blood-stained wound on the top wrist. In fact, there are many wounds and blood stains on his body, on the forehead, a wound in the side, wounds all over his arms and legs. The cloth is like that which was used in ancient times to wrap a body for burial. And in spite of all the debate, there is strong evidence that this cloth and the image on it is indeed very old, possibly a couple thousand years old. Now, whether or not you believe that this Shroud of Turin is the actual burial cloth of Jesus Christ or not, and I happen to believe it is, the question for everyone who is familiar with this and who has studied it, the question that everybody asks is, how did this image get there on this piece of cloth? The fact is, no one can explain it. No one who has studied or examined it, no scientist who has tested, nobody can explain it. The image is not painted, it's not printed, there's no man-made materials, there is no obvious reason why that image should appear on that cloth. In fact, some who have studied it say that it appears that the image was put there by some type of a power or a radiation or maybe a burst of energy. The fact is, it simply defies explanation. Is the shroud proof of the resurrection? You see, the crucified body of Jesus Christ was taken down from the cross, prepared for burial, wrapped in a cloth, as was the custom of the time, and placed in a tomb in the rock. But then a few days later, in an instant, by the supernatural power of God that came down upon His dead body of the Son of God lying in that tomb, like a crack of lightning, like a powerful nuclear reaction, like a sudden burst of radiation. I mean, how can one possibly describe it? By the power of God, the power of creation, the same God, the same power that created everything, that created man in the beginning, God who brought everything to life, who spoke creation and mankind into existence, by His power, He instantly raised His Son, Jesus Christ, back to life again. And the foundation of our Christian faith is our belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took our sins, your sin and mine, upon Himself, and He died in our place. He died for us so that we could live. And if we believe in Him and we accept by faith what He did for us in the cross, our sins, think of it, all of our sins can be forgiven. But wait, there's more. Jesus rose from the dead to new life. And the same God who raised Jesus to life can also give you new life. Our text in Ephesians, Paul said that God offers to us His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You see, the truth is, my friends, that by faith we have available to us, you have available to you in your life, the same power. Think of it. The same power of God is available to you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The title of my message this morning is Resurrection Power. Heavenly Father, how can we ever thank You enough for all that You have done for us? I guess the way that we can thank You is to receive it by faith and to live for You. To give You our hearts and lives. And allow You to work Your resurrection power in us. Because You have great things that You want to do in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I ask You to speak to our hearts today, to move by Your Holy Spirit. And I ask You, Lord, one more time, for Your anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be upon me, to preach this message, to bless Your people, because I can't do it without You. But with Your power, help me to speak clearly and boldly in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And it's in Your name that I pray. Amen. What do you need in your life today? What do you need to happen to you? What do you need to change in your life? God has the power to do whatever needs to be done. He has the power to change your life. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you today. The question, though, is, what is resurrection power and what can it do for you? I have three words that I'd like to use to answer that question. And the words are this: cancel, conquer, and change. Cancel, conquer, and change. First of all, resurrection power is the power to cancel your past. The power to cancel your past. The things that we have done, our mistakes, our failures, our sins, the things that we're not proud of, the things that we would like to change and forget. Anybody have any of those things? Paul says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." I think "all" includes just that, all of us, you and me. "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory." There are many hurts, there are many pains. There are things that we have done and things that have been done to us. The fact is that there are no do-overs in life. What's done is done. Or is it? Oh, there's good news. The good news is that in Christ, our sins can be forgiven and our past can be canceled. That Christ took our sins, our past, whatever we have done upon Himself on the cross, and He died in our place. And by His blood shed on the cross, our sins are forgiven and our past is wiped away. It is erased. And to simply illustrate this, I have written on the board some things that we can all relate to, that we all have in our lives. Your past, mistakes, failures, pain, hurts, sins, mess ups, poor choices. Anybody have any of those? But when Jesus died on the cross, and He shed His blood, all of those sins, all of that past, is canceled. It's erased. It's forgiven. It's washed away. And what we wind up with is a brand new start, a brand new life. What we wind up with is a completely clear and clean past. It's all gone. It's all forgiven. It's all forgotten. It's all wiped away. It's all gone. Can somebody say amen? Only Jesus can do that for you. I love what Paul said in Colossians 2:14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and He took it away by nailing it to the cross. You see, when we come to Christ in faith and we confess our sins and we ask Him to forgive us, all of our sins are washed away. Our past is forgiven and forgotten. And it's as if all those things never even happened. And we're given a clean slate, a brand new start. And we head in a new direction with Christ in the lead. So what about you today? Have you come to Jesus? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? To cancel your past? To erase everything that you've ever done? to start you in a new direction in life by His resurrection power. And if I may be so bold, may I ask as you sit here today, are you right with God? In a few minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come to Him with your past, with even where you may be right now, and let Him cancel it and wash it away. The power to cancel your past. Secondly, the resurrection power is the power to conquer your problems. The power to conquer your problems. You know, I've been around for a while now, and I have yet to meet a person who has never had any problems. Everyone faces trials, troubles, challenges, hard times, difficult circumstances, and sometimes even seemingly impossible situations. But with God and by His power, there is no such thing as impossible. The question is not whether you have problems, but are you letting God work in your life, and are you letting Him give you His power to overcome those problems? Jesus said it so clearly in John 16:33, in this world you will, not you might or you may, in this world you will have trouble. But then He said, take heart. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus is rather speaking prophetically, looking into the future about what He was going to do. When He died and He rose again, He overcame. He conquered hell, death, and the grave. Jesus defeated Satan and everything that the devil could throw at Him or the devil could throw at you. Come on! And in the resurrection, God demonstrated His power to conquer any and every problem or situation. There is nothing, there is no problem that the power of God cannot overcome. And that means that you can face any trial and overcome by the power of God available to you through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 37, Paul says this, who separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Oh, I got to say that again. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You see, when you put your faith in Christ and you turn your life over to Him, you're an overcomer. And you are, notice He didn't just say you are a conqueror. He said you are more. Woo-hoo! You are more than a conqueror. And if God is with you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? And a few verses previous in that same chapter, Paul adds, What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? For He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give up all things? I want to get excited, but I'm trying to contain myself. What are you facing in your life today? What kind of a situation are you in? Is there a problem? A trouble that you're dealing with? Are you trying to face it? Are you trying to handle it? Are you trying to take care of it? Are you trying to solve it by yourself? Stop. Stop! Give it to God. He's the one with the power. Get a hold of the resurrection power and let God handle and take care of your problems and make you more than a conqueror. Resurrection power is the power to conquer your problems. And thirdly and lastly, it's the power to change your life. It's the power to change your life. You know, I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus loves us just the way we are. What are the requirements to come to Jesus? Absolutely none. Just faith. Just Jesus, I want you, I need you. God loves you just the way you are. But He doesn't want you to stay that way. God wants to make you better. And He has the power to change your life. You see, coming to Jesus is just the beginning. Accepting Christ as our Savior, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, to give us an eternal life, to start us on our way to heaven, is just the start of what God wants to do in your life. Yes, we come to Jesus just the way we are, but God has great plans for you. He wants to make you into the person that He created you, that He designed you to be. He wants you to become that person. And the good news, that's good news, but even gooder news. Sorry, English teachers. That's good news, but the gooder news is that He doesn't want to just make us into the person that He created us to be, but He has the power to do it. Just doesn't get any gooder than that. He has the power to change your life, to make you into the person He designed you to be, if you're willing to let Him do it. If you're willing to cooperate with what He wants to do in you. You see, the good news is God can take who you are and make you better. I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Bethlehem is often called the Christmas City for obvious reasons. Bethlehem was founded and named by the Moravian Church in the early 1700s. But it's probably best known as the home of Bethlehem Steel, which unfortunately has been closed for some years. fact, they built a casino on the site. But you know, when Bethlehem Steel was in full operation, an interesting thing took place there that was a vital process of making steel. Rail cars full of old, used, broken, damaged, rusted scrap metal were shipped in. The metal was recycled. It was cut up, melted down, and the impurities were removed. The metal was heated and melted and molded and shaped and remade into brand new steel. What was broken and damaged was recycled into something new and useful. You know, God has been in the recycling business for a long time. I'm getting excited again. Hold me back. You see, the power of God changes lives. God takes damaged people. He takes broken and hurting lives, and He melts us, and He molds us, and He shapes us, and He recreates us by His love and His resurrection power, and He pours in the Holy Spirit, and He brings healing, and He gives hope, and He offers grace, and He recycles our lives, and He begins to make us into brand new people. The power of God changes lives, and He can change your life too. In Christ, you can have a new start. You can become a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it so well. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything has become new. My friend, God wants to do something new in your life by the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. God can take whatever's wrong and make it right. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get right with God and let Him begin a new work in you. Locked safely away in a box at that cathedral in Italy is the Shroud of Turin. Is this long, narrow, ancient piece of cloth the actual burial cloth of Jesus that was wrapped around His body? Does it bear the image of the crucified body of Christ after they took Him down from the cross? How did that image get there? Was it the result of a sudden, instantaneous, the miraculous power of God as Jesus was raised from the dead? Either way, it doesn't change the fact, the reality, and the truth that as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. My friend, the resurrection power of God is real, and it is available to you today. It's the power to cancel your past. It's the power to conquer your problems. And the power to change your life. Paul said again in Philippians 3:10 that we read at the beginning, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. Do you really know Christ today? Have you experienced His power in your life? Do you know what God can do for you? He can forgive all of your sins. He can cancel your past. He can erase everything that you've ever done. He can give you a new start and a brand new life. He can help you to overcome any and every problem or situation that you face. He can head you in a new direction. He can change your life. But you must come to Him. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. You must let Him do His work in you. I wonder what in your life needs to change, starting right now. I'd like to ask you, as we bring this service to a close, to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a moment, I won't be long. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Why? Because this is not about the person next to you. This is about you. This is about where you stand with God. This is about answering the question, what will you do with Jesus? And as we're taking just a moment to shed ourselves individually in with God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one, I want to ask you, because I care about you, and I want you to have all that God has for you, I'd like to know, is there anybody here, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around? This is private between you and God, and allowing me to pray with you. Is there anybody here, you'd slip up your hand quickly and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. I want to come to Him right now. I want to receive by faith what He did for me on the cross. I want Him to cancel my past. I need His forgiveness. I need that new life that you're talking about. I want to put my faith in Jesus today. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Way in the back. Yes, a hand in the front. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. One more question while our heads are still bowed. Is there anybody here who would say, I have come to Jesus, I've been a Christian, but I'm not where I need to be. I'm not right with God right now. And I need to make things right. I need to come back to Jesus. I've got some unfinished business with God that needs to be taken care of. I need Him in my life again. I need Him to help me. I need Him to guide me. I need Him to continue to change me. Is there anybody you'd lift up your hand? That's your prayer. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Stu is going to put on a song in just a minute. Thank you to all those who raised your hand. As the music comes on, I want you to know that Jesus is here for you. You raised your hand. That's awesome. But you need to do one more thing. You need to take a step of faith. You need to act upon that faith and what God is speaking to you in your life. If you raise your hand for any of those things that we just talked about, Don't pass up this opportunity. God's here for you. He wants to do a work in your life. I'd like to pray with you. There'll be people here to pray with you. When the music comes on, I'd like to invite you to come, even if you didn't raise your hand. Don't pass up this opportunity. What a great day, Resurrection Sunday, to come to Christ, to come back to Christ, to let Him do a new work in you. Will you come? The altars are open. Will you come? I'd like to pray with you today. Jesus. The time. Come just as this is your chance. Come on down. Come to Jesus. The Spirit. Down. Come on down. Make a commitment to Jesus. Come on down. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Anyone else you want to respond to Jesus today? You're not coming to me, you're not coming to Gateway, you're coming to Jesus. Praise God. for all that He has done. Oh, we give Him thanks. We give Him glory. We give Him praise. It's been so wonderful having each and every one of you here with us in our service together as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection. I'm going to do something I don't often get the chance to do. I'm going to ask Minister Stanley if he would come and dismiss us in prayer. I'm going to stand by the back door, get to shake some hands and hug some necks. Don't forget to please pick up your children in the nursery. And then, don't leave them there. Yeah, have mercy on our workers. But then we're going to head out to the playground area in the back and join the kids for Easter, for the Easter egg hunt. That doesn't mean that we collect the eggs. They're for the kids, but we just, kidding. Well, we just get to enjoy and be part of watching them do that. So that will take place right after we dismiss. Thank you. God bless you. Love you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day to each and every one. Minister Stanley.
Maybe.